He says, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Now, I think this is where we see the connection between verse 11 and 12. First, verse 11, he speaks about hiding the word of God in his heart. When you and I engage in the practice of regularly hiding God's word in our heart, meditating, treasuring, valuing it as a treasure and, you know, hiding it in our heart, then out of the fullness of the heart, mouth speaks, right? Our lips speak. And if it is there in the heart, it will be there in the lips. That's where our Lord himself said, out of his innermost being, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And do you see that in your speech? Forget about living water. Is there at least clean water coming from your mouth? No, the way we speak in our house, the way we speak in outside. Are we declaring God's word? Why are we not doing that? Why are we not sharing God's word? It's because we have gotten used to a mode of listening to God's word. We can say it as a hypocritical way, where we may allow God's word to probably come, we may hear that sound, we may allow that God's word to enter our mind and make us get into thinking, right? But once the meeting is over, forget about hiding that God's word in our heart. We are not allowing that God's word to warm our hearts, to refresh our spirit, and get up from the meeting and go refreshed. So it doesn't come in our lips. When we don't hide it in our hearts, it will not come in our lips. So that's why we see a close connection between this verse and verse 11. And another reason that we don't speak God's word as we should to others. Verse 12. He says, Lord, you are blessed, and then you with your light, you enlighten me, you teach me, when I am taught by God. Right? And here the psalmist is using that as an argument. When you teach me, right? When I am enlightened, then I will declare your statutes. When God teaches his word with a spiritual enlightenment, and it becomes such a wonderful thing, and it warms our heart, and we cannot control ourselves. It will inevitably come out in our lips. Right? It will overflow from us. And when we keep declaring, that's why you see the connection, right? Verse 11 and verse 12. He says, verse 11, it is his effort to hear God's word very carefully, to treasure it in his heart, and do everything in his sight to ensure that he doesn't forget God's word. And then, verse 12, it talks about he praying to God that God may enlighten him with those words. When these two happen, the inevitable result is always a declaring of God's word from our lips, right? So that's the connection, beautiful connection. So let's understand verse 13 with two headings, right? Very simple headings, very short. What is the psalmist saying that he will declare? He says, all the judgments of your mouth. In what way will he declare? He says, with my lips. Okay? What will he declare? He says, the judgment of his mouth. The judgments of your mouth. What does this mean? I think we've already seen that God's word are the judgments that came from the very mouth of God. He says, judgment of your mouth. We saw why it is called judgment, because, see, men may have their own judgments, men may have their own opinions, and they may believe 101 things, but both providence, which is nothing but history, and eternity will be an expression of the judgment of God. What is your life today and what is my life tomorrow? It is, why is our life like this today? It is nothing but the consequence of the judgment of God. If we obey his word, if we abide by his word, we will experience the blessedness, the happiness that comes from his judgment. If we play around with his word, we will face corresponding consequences. That's our life. That's the providence. God's word is the rule according to which we must judge everything. according to the verdict that are passed in His word. No. It's nothing but the expression of providence, right? Somebody said, God's providence is the commentary upon God's scripture. Right? What will happen in the providence? What will happen in the history? You know, you see that for thousands of years, again and again, whatever God's word said is what finally happened in history, right? Scripture is not only a record of past, but a forecast of future. It's the prophecy of what is going to come. And you can read you don't have to go to an astrologer. You know, in Tamil they say Jadagam and all that. Somebody was talking about Jadagam. I said, your old Jadagam is written here. Right? You can see whether you will land up in destruction or whether you will land up in prosperity and blessing by reading this word. You can read, you can see everything where you stand. You don't have to go to an astrologer. So that's why it's called a judgment. Not only providence, but when we exit the providence of time and enter eternity, the eternity will be determined by what? John 12:48, the word I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. Right? You may read your salvation or your doomsday in the Bible today. Right? If your experience, if your life matches up to the experience of the saints and whatever is mentioned, you know your future. Right? You know, if men may seem to escape in the providence, but they will not escape the judgment, last judgment, right? The sentence of God, the judgment of God will infallibly be fulfilled on every man. All the words of the Bible are the very judgments that came from the mouth of God. As if God Himself pronounced this from the court of heaven as the oracle of heaven, what will happen? Right? Both in providence and eternity, all recorded and given to us. I'm getting a lot of distractions today. Hold on first. Okay. These judgments of God have been revealed, right? There are then Paul says in Romans, oh, how unsearching are the judgments of God. And how unsearching. But there are things that are unsearchable, right? We can't know. But there are things that God has revealed. And it's a terrible, terrible thing to hide them and not declare them. Because these are the judgments of the very God of creation, very God of providence, very God is going to judge every human. And there is no greater crime than hiding them and not declaring them. Psalmist says, I will not commit that sin. I have declared. It's in past tense. He said, I have declared, right? Notice the extent of this declaration. What has he declared? Not what people want to hear. Not what he likes to share. Right? My favorite verses. Look at the verse. The extent is, I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. The very comprehensive word, small word, all. Without adding anything, without diminishing anything, God's word accurately, faithfully, I have declared to all people. Right? I will not declare my own opinions, my own imaginations, but the pure judgment of God. And nothing must be hidden because we fear somebody or we want somebody's favor. You know, we can't alter God's word according to that. Our work is not to look to please people, right? But just like Paul said in Acts 20, I have not shunned from declaring, again the same word, the whole counsel of God. That's what David is saying. All the judgments of God. If it is the counsel of God, let it succeed how it wants. We will not determine by twisting or customizing it. It is the word of God. It is all the counsel of God. Let it succeed how God wants it to be declared. Succeed. You know, so I will declare it. So David here says, I will declare all the judgments of thy mouth. Maybe he talks about this as a prophet, because he himself taught, right? So, that's what he says, I will declare. Next, in what manner will he declare? Right? Like many of us give the foolish excuse, no, I can't share the gospel, but I will show the gospel through my life. through my behavior. Right? That's a big excuse. I'm not denying that. You should live a life of witness before people. That is important. But look at the verse. It talks about a verbal declaration. I will open my mouth and declare all your judgments. Right? Look at the verse. With my lips. Very, very clear. It's a verbal communication of God's word to people. Okay? So that's 10 minutes of exposition. Now, I think the verse is very clear, very simple. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I think it's very clear, very straightforward. Now, let me apply this. We know this is a great beauty of the Bible. As a church and as an individual Christian, we are all supposed to declare the judgments of God. And this has become an inevitable duty in the New Testament because of the great commission of our Lord. As a church, we have to declare. What is our ministry? Our ministry is all about declaring the judgments of God. Right? That's the great work with which we are involved. By God's grace, we've been doing it, for many years now, verse by verse, to fulfill the duty that all the judgments, not what I like, but all the judgments. And another beautiful summary of the judgments of God is there as part of a confession. Right? So we've been declaring that for years, and that's what GRBC is about. And I was doing this for many years, and now we have Brother Vinod and Brother Francis supporting me in that work. And we have to pray for that because we need more men to teach. I've been telling our deacons, right? There are members, maybe not an English Tamil group. There are people waiting to attend the membership, but frankly, I've not been able to find time. And we have to find people. God has to help us, gifted people who are able to declare the confession of faith so that, they can become members in our church. Okay, so that's, as a corporate, that's our responsibility. Now, what about declaring God's judgment on a personal level? I know we are not doing that as we should. And do we see the reason for our failure? We regularly need the encouragement and motivation and the reminders on this duty. So let me take this verse and give you 5 reasons from this verse why we should be regularly involved in sharing the gospel with people. Why we should be sharing, declaring the judgments of God with people. 3 reasons why and 2 ways how we should regularly practice. Okay, very practical. Number one reason. I think this is the purpose of creation. The whole creation of God. What is the purpose of creation? God, who is blessed forever, He has His own inherent glory. He can't add anything to His inherent glory. But He created heaven, earth and everything for what? To declare His glory. Right? The theologians call this as inherent glory, which God already has. We can't add anything to that. But whatever glory that God already has, the creation was created with the sole purpose of declaring His glory. They call it as inherent glory and declarative glory. Okay? That's the role. Our role is to declare His glory, and Bible says that even the whole creation, even the lifeless things, heavens declare the glory of God, right? The psalmist poetically says, even the creation that doesn't have language, it's kind of the sky all yearns to have words to express the glory of God. The birds and the animals and the trees, everything, they declare the glory of God in their own words. But the greatest creation, who was created with a unique ability to declare the glory of God, is you and me. Right? More than any other creation, we can specifically, clearly declare this glory. How? Through our tongue and lips. Right? One of the great difference between all the creatures and us. Do you know that we have the ability to communicate with our tongue? Ability to declare certain things with accuracy? So, why did God create the tongue for us? It's not just to taste different kind of pickles and mangoes and, you know, and then use that tongue to keep blabbering the whole day and keep using toxic, bitter words that always comes out of our mouth. And do you know our tongues are called the glory of the man? Psalm 57, the psalmist says, "Awake my glory." Right? What is that that he's talking about? He's talking about his tongue. Because, you know, in a unique way, no other creation has that. Right? You have a tongue with an ability to praise God. How little mindful we are of that. Right? All day through, we spend all day, but God doesn't get one word of praise from this tongue, which was solely, exclusively, peculiarly created for that purpose. Why is it called a glory? Because only we have the tongue. Do you know that? Do you know even angels, you know, they do not have physical tongues. I don't know how they praise God, how they make sound. Maybe they make, but they don't have tongues, right? Physical tongues. And the benefit of speech is our privilege above the angels and even animals. The angels may have mind, okay, they may reason, but they don't have physical tongues. And the animals may have tongues, but they don't have reason, right, to make them think and, you know, intellectually declare the glory of God. But we have both the tongues and the reason that we may intellectually praise God. It's a very peculiar, exclusive advantage that you and I have. Created in the image of God. And what are we doing that? The highest use. I'm not saying, okay, you should not eat with your tongue, you should not taste pickle with your tongue. No, no, no. But the highest use, the chief use of our tongue is not to taste food. It's not to keep blabbering and communicating so many things with people. The chief end. There are chief end for which things were created and there are inferior end. For which things are created. The inferior end could be, you know, eating and tasting and talking, but the chief end for which we are created, our tongues are created, that we will be able to express the glory of God, what we feel in our heart. No other creation has that ability. But what an abuse we do, right? You know, if we fail in this great duty. So the first purpose, why should we declare the glory of God? Why should we declare the judgments of God? That's why you have a tongue. Right? That's the chief end of your tongue. Secondly, it is the proof of a redeemed heart. See, you can come to church, you can hear a sermon, you can sing all you want, you can do your Bible calendar. All this can maybe be a religious deception. But you know what is the great proof of a redeemed heart? Is whether you declare God's judgments to others. Yes, that's a great proof. See, a wicked man has a vain heart. How do we, therefore, you know, his words are all vain. And the Bible says, Lord sees all their thoughts are vain. A vain heart will have vain speeches, right? Take a wicked man, all the working of his heart, all the thoughts that he has, all the speeches that he does, it's all summed up and the product and the sum and the effect of all that is vain. That's what Bible says. Every man's speech is an index of his heart. Do you know that? Every man's speech reveals the condition of the heart. You talk to a covetous person, what will he tell you? Right? He'll talk about money, he'll talk about trading, he'll talk about real estate, he'll talk about gold rate, he'll talk about great Amazon offers that are there, this dress, that mobile, always that talk. Right? Talk about a man who loves pleasure, who's a glutton, he's always talking about food. Right? Where you can get cheap food. And which is the latest movie and latest entertainment and it's always sports and quality. It reveals the Now, all those reveal the heart condition. What has he been deeply thinking? Every man has a voice inside him, and the tongue reflects that. Right? His heart's voice is reflected in the tongue. The constitution of a man is expressed in his tongue. Go to a very dissatisfied man, he'll be talking about the difficulties he has, the worries, the problems and all that. What they speak reveals who they are. And how is a truly redeemed man different? A redeemed man who values God's word, the things that are dear to him, the precious, what he loves and admires and what affects his heart. That's what occupies his heart and that's what occupies his tongue. So what is the proof that man has been thinking about God? That he claims that I have been redeemed from all this. That I have a relationship with God. And God speaks to me through His Word. That I have a relationship. I read His Word. What is the proof that he is benefiting from his church meeting? What is the proof that he has a personal devotion, personal relationship with God, and that relationship is precious? You will see him declaring the judgments of God from his mouth. Isn't it right? He will be speaking out the word of God with whatever fear that God has placed him. That's a great proof, because Allah said a good man out of his good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. The speech betrays a man, right? What kind he is. Yeah, sometimes even believers get backslide and keep talking about all these foolish things. That shows a backslidden condition of a believer, right? That can be, but the proof, third reason why you and I should declare the word of God, that's the purpose, that's the proof of our redeemed condition. Thirdly, that's the proof of we growing in God's grace and knowledge. How can you find a man? What is the infallible proof of a man who's growing in God's grace and knowledge? You can say we're all growing. Yes. Why? Because we're all coming to church. Because we are all reading the Bible. See, how can we know that a man is hiding God's word in his heart so that he may not sin? Verse 11. And he's not just hearing and forgetting and putting up a deception and deceiving his own heart, like James says, who are just hearers and not doers and are not blessed by the word. How can we know that he's growing in grace? How can we identify a believer, verse 12, to whom Holy Spirit is giving him special enlightenment and God is teaching him the truth, where he can feel the truth, that he is being enlightened and he is growing in the grace? How can we know? The fruit is always, you will see him declaring God's judgments to everyone around him. He's a healthy Christian. And Vinod was using a picture last when he was leading a prayer, and it is still in my mind. He was saying, when we praise God, it should be like we open the tap and it should, water should flow. Right? It should flow forcefully. Right? What if the tank is empty? Right? If the tap has to flow forcefully. I have a picture of when I went to a village, right? Because it's rainy season, the wells are all full. I remember long time ago when it was summer, I switched on the motor, the water was, you know, dripping. The same tank, you know, when I went and switched on the motor this time, it was so forceful, you know, the water was actually going almost, you know, some 10 feet above. So it was so forceful, right? The tank is full. These are living waters that are coming out of the belly. Why? Because It proves that there is a spring inside, right? It proves that there is deep well inside. And if water is not coming, that there is no well inside, right? Like it says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How do I know that a man in whom the word of Christ is dwelling richly? The same verse goes on and says, he will be teaching and admonishing one another. And this declaration reveals that there is a good stock, that there is good treasure inside him. We can say the word is so useful. The sermon was such a blessing. I read the Bible daily. I am going to church. I am a member. But brothers and sisters, only when you are declaring the word to others, right, you show that you are truly being affected by the word of God. You don't realize, right, the dynamics of And what we are missing by failing to declare the word of God. So those are my three proofs, right? One, the purpose of creation. The proof of a redeemed heart. Third, the proof of a Christian growing in grace and knowledge of God. He will be declaring. Right? If that is not there, something is wrong. We grow in grace not only by hearing God's word and burying the truth. We grow by sharing. Just like in a well, right, when the more you pump up water, you know, the more the water is, water comes up. So the more you draw, just like a mother, right, they say when a child is newly born, the more baby takes the milk, the more milk will be formed. So the truths are more, the more we share God's word, the truth becomes more clear to us. My secret is the reason that I grow, right, is because I keep sharing. And I get more understanding when, we keep sharing. And then our prayers, we don't understand all these spiritual dynamics. You know, why are so many of our prayers not heard? Right, our prayers are heard when we use our lips with which we pray, but we don't declare God's word. The lips with which we have used to declare God's word, those are the lips that become very, very acceptable to God. First, we need to pray, Lord, your kingdom come. And with the same lips, when we have attempted with our lips to make his kingdom come, and we pray, give us our daily bread. It is the same lips that gets the answer to prayers, right? So all these are spiritual dynamics. So, okay, three reasons why we should declare God's word and share the gospel. Now let me tell you two ways practically how to do it, two areas, right, in our own families. In training, in educating our wives and training up our children. Inculcating and declaring God's truth to them. You know, there are so many commands in the Bible, right? It's a commanded duty in the most earliest passages of the Bible. You know, amazing thing. God wanted to reveal the story of Sodom and Gomorrah to Abraham. And he says he wants to do it. Because what he's going to do in the future, he wants to reveal it to Abraham. You know what is the reason that God says that I'm going to reveal? Genesis 18:19 says, I know that Abraham will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord. God assumes that. Assumes in himself because Abraham is in the habit of teaching his children. And I'm going to reveal. God made great promises to him. How much of light you and I, if you are the husband, how much of light you and I are missing because we fail in this area. He expects husbands to teach, parents to teach his children. And you are disappointing God. And that great passage in Deuteronomy 6:6. These words which I have commanded thee that they shall be in your heart. God says first they should be in your heart. That's the first condition. Just like the psalmist said, I read your heart, word in my heart. It should be in your heart. Then what? Thou shalt teach them. It is there in the heart. The proof is you will teach them to your children. When you sit in your house, when you walk in the way, when you lying down, when you rise up, morning, evening, rising up, lying down, when you go out, you'll be coming out if it is there in the heart. It will break out. And husbands are specifically given the responsibility to express their love to their wife by educating them in the truth. How will I express my love to my wife? Yes, sometimes I buy her some dress and I express my love verbally, tell her I love you, all that. But scripture tells us, Ephesians 5:25, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it. See the kind of love? He might sanctify us. It must be such a love where it tends to my wife's sanctification. We have a great responsibility. Right? And to teach our wives. So that, only when husbands, we have it in our heart when we talk to our wives and when we express it, we will be educating and teaching them, right? What about the great responsibility of declaring God's judgment to our children? Right? It's a poor kind of love where we are very careful about their education, we are very careful about the wealth we want to put, insurance we want to take, goals we want to be. We want them to be successful. But do we realize that the great education that we can give them, and as a father, as a mother, that I only can give, is the truth, right? Family has to be the first Sunday school for the church. We don't realize the failure to teach daily our children will have terrible consequences in the future, which we will not be able to correct even all our life. At the same time, if we are faithful in this, right, God graciously saves them. No, many prove to be great servants of God because we taught them early. It's the best love that we can express to our children, right? And when you take care and train them in the judgments of God, you know, tell them that the world is deceptive, that the world is all of lies. God's word is the truth, right? Train them to think according to God's word. You train them up for eternity. And you teach them the declarations of God. And when you train them for eternity, they will inevitably be successful in this world. Right? That's the best thing. In our families, husband, wife and children, all should be helping one another to grasp the judgments of God. I was seeing, you know, one family, Hindu family. You will not believe the kind of carefulness, the diligence, the whole family was involved in idolatrous worship. Right, it reminded me, Jeremiah says that the children all go and gather the wood and the wife cooks the food and the husband comes and kindles the fire. All the children, husband, everybody, the husband, the woman and the man makes the children recite all those difficult mantras which is even difficult to pronounce. None of them understand. Husband doesn't understand, wife doesn't understand, just make them pronounce that and teach them again, blind superstition. Oh, you should see the how diligently they were doing it. Everyone was very involved, very eagerly doing it. And you know, it's just for an idolatrous worship. How much you and I, when we know the living God and when we know the truth in the language that we can understand and communicate to children, how much are we involved in that kind of worship in our house? Declaring the judgments of God, right? We have to be careful in training our children in the way of godliness. And it's the work of the husband, right? And we should ask ourselves, you know, what honor does God get by making me a father? By making me the head of the house? The woman, you should think, what honor does God get by making me a mother and giving me children? How much are we complaining about the disobedience and the rebelliousness of children? But are we asked, how faithful are we in this duty? We worry about their future, what are they going to become? But you know, if God blesses these things, they will become a crown of honor for your family. Okay, that's the first way we practice this. Practice it in your house. Declare, hide the God's word in your heart and declare it to your, you know, wives and children. Right? Not only in families, but declaring His judgment wherever God's providence puts us with whomever. Wherever and with whomever the providence of God brings into our life. It can be our relatives, it can be our neighbors, it can be our colleagues, our tenants, you know, any others who to whom, you know, whom we come in contact with. What do we talk with people? And I ask you, right? There were disciples walking and coming and the Lord was going in the front and the Lord asked, on the way, what were you discussing? What were you talking? And they were ashamed to tell us. You know why? Because they were talking about who will be the greatest. If the Lord asks you and me, I have brought that person into your life, this person into your life in the providence. What did you speak to them? Will we not be ashamed with the kind of useless, sometimes even sinful talk? We have the ability, the gift and the energy, right, of speaking. And you know, sometimes our speech has no value, no weight, no power because we sin so much with our tongues and anything else. This is given as a glory to us, as an honor that when we speak, people should listen and it should have weight. What have we done with that faculty? you've so completely abused it. It has no value when we speak our mouth and say, because we speak toxic words, we speak negative words, we've been slandering people, we've been carelessly talking people. There's no value for our words. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but which is good and used and is of use for edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. We have that ability with that tongue, with our speech, that it can minister grace to those who hear us. Talking for hard talking. All foolish talking. Paul says to Timothy, refuse profane and old wise fables. That's what he saw, slandering about that person, this person, negative speech. Oh, how useful our talk will be if we ask every day at night, whom have I met today? What have I spoken? What good have I done with my tongue? Right? A talking will be such a blessing. It's not enough. Okay, what's wrong with talking like this? You should ask, what good has it done by talking like this? What use, what benefit has it given? Because Bible says that we'll have to give an account for every idle word. I think we should make this a conscious duty. We should first pray every time. That's what I do, people. You know, I ask God to give boldness, you know, an opportunity, you know, that to share the gospel. Sometimes when I'm talking to that person, you know, I, quietly for 5 seconds, Lord, I have this opportunity, I'm talking to this person, I have some time, can you please help me to share the gospel? Always, you know, always, God helps me somehow. He makes me say some things, or they will say some things, you know, which leads to the discussion about the gospel. So, you know, that's how we have to practice. Can I ask you, what are you doing to declare all the judgments of God in your family, in your outside, where providence has placed you? That's a great duty, right? We have to do that. And how ashamed we should be in all the useless ways we've been using our lips regularly. Right? Even once or twice, we've never spoken to God about people that we know. Right? Those are talents. Those are the people that come into our life, the people whom God sends. Those are gifts and talents for which we have to give an account one day. Right? Whether they listen, whether they accept, it's a different matter. But have we spoken? Right? Have we spoken? Then it will be a great comfort in time, right? Coming back, looking back, that we have done our duty. We have declared to them, like Noah, he was preaching for so many years when he saw the whole world droning. What a comfort it will be for him that he has spoken to them. Right? When we see people dying, when we see our own relatives, my uncle, for example, died 2-3 weeks ago, right? What a comfort it had for me, because I shared the gospel with him. I gave the Bible to him. I have done that. And Radhika's father was there. He's pretty old now. He's weak. And I went there. Instead of speaking 101 things, you know, I shared the gospel with him. I told him that you will go to hell, you know. And it will be a comfort. Right? So let's be very conscious, and may God help us to learn from this promise, right? If you hide this word in our heart, and God help, ask God to regularly teach and enlighten us, we will be declaring God's word, and it's our duty. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this evening, helping us to look at our own lives and hearts through this promised word, Lord. Help us to declare your judgments, Lord, to this ignorant and dying and perishing world. It all lives in blindness and the judgments of the world and the devil, Lord. Help us to teach your judgments. It is the most needed thing that we can ever speak to anybody that we know. Oh, give us the solemn responsibility. Make us feel the responsibility in our own hearts. Bless us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. This ends our English prayer meeting.